Today I'm actually going to speak from Psalm 23. This is obviously a lot of people's most favouritest ever psalm. It's the psalm that people use at funerals. It's used in all kinds of places. But there is so much more in this psalm than we perhaps know. What I'm going to do is talk about the names of God in the Bible and attach it or stick it into or relate it to Psalm 23. So bear with me. There are two names, major names for God in the Bible, Elohim and Jehovah or Yahweh, if you want the Hebrew version. And God reveals himself through his names. Elohim means powerful creator, and it's the general name for God, if you like. Jehovah or Yahweh is his personal covenant name, the one he uses with those who know him, his own people, us. When Moses encountered the burning bush, you remember that one where Moses just saw this flame and thought, oh, gee, that's interesting. I'm going to wander over and have a look and then take off your shoes, you're on holy ground, and all of the stuff that goes with that. God revealed himself to Moses, and the name he used was Yahweh. I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. In other words, what he was saying was, I am the unchanging, always God. The unchanging, always God who keeps his word. And it's interesting to note, as a sideline, that Jesus also used I am. The important thing for today with looking at Psalm 23 is to look at Yahweh's covenant names in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament. Covenants were really important in the Old Testament times because they were a thing in which people gave themselves to one another. They make promises. And each of the covenants that God made with his people through the Old Testament, God made a commitment to us. He made a commitment to his people. He made a promise. And there are eight of them in the Hebrew Bible. In each of these covenants, God uses a descriptor or a name. He adds this to the name Yahweh, which we often translate in our Bibles as the Lord or Lord. He adds a descriptor or name to the name by which he's known to his own people. And these are the covenant names of God. They're revealed progressively through the Hebrew Scriptures, through the Old Testament. If you're wondering why I use the word Hebrew Scriptures rather than Old Testament, it's because it's not old. It's current. It still applies to us today. So I prefer to use the term Hebrew Scriptures if anybody's wondering why I'm being weird. So they're revealed progressively through the Hebrew Scriptures, and he reveals each one in turn in a situation that showed the meaning of that name. And they reveal, each of these names reveal something of God's character and nature to us. And it's also interesting to note, another sideline, Jesus also made eight I am statements. For those who like those, you know, those nice matching, you know, anybody not like the photos and picture frames when they're slightly off centre? And you've got this compulsion to straighten. Well, you see, the Hebrew Testament has eight names for God, and Jesus also has eight I am statements. Today, however, we're looking at the Hebrew names. Today we're going to look at these eight names and using Psalm 23. So just a bit of background. David, who wrote this psalm, was fleeing from Saul, the king. David was a refugee. He was in exile. He was an exile from his own people. He had no identity. He was living among strangers, and he didn't belong. It didn't matter where he went, he wasn't part of the people. It's really important to understand this as we look at Psalm 23. He was being threatened. He was in constant danger. He was even living amongst his enemies. So he wasn't in a particularly good place. You know, where we sang the song this morning through in the every blessing I'll turn back to praise. Even in the dark places, and think about this psalm in terms of the dark place that David was in at that moment of time, because it really was a pretty scary place for him. So, verse 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. And this shows three of the names of God. Jehovah or Yahweh, whichever one you prefer. Jehovah Rohi, God is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. I find it fascinating that the first thing that we hear in this psalm is about rest and refreshment. God ordains us to be rested and refreshed. He ordains us, he commands us to have R&R and restores our soul. The Hebrew word for pasture or meadow also means a home or a dwelling place. Green pastures satisfy our hunger. I mean, if you look out at the moment and see the greenness after all the rain we've had, that is beautiful, lush. These are the kinds of pastures that God wants us to rest in. Places where we can receive sustenance and moisture for our soul. If you think about how dry and arid we are in the middle of summer when we've had 10 days of 40 degrees and everything's brown and dusty, that's actually what David was living in. I tried to find a photo that I could use of the arid nature of the place that David was wandering, because it was a dry and arid land. And David says God leads him in green meadows and beside peaceful streams where he can be refreshed. Green pastures satisfy our hunger, not just hunger for food, but hunger for God. When we live in green pastures, God satisfies the deepest need of our soul, which is not so much for food, but for him. He restores my soul. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Two names of God. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. And Jehovah Tzidkenu, I really hope there's no Hebrew speakers here. The Lord, my righteousness. God restores our soul. He returns or brings back to himself our soul. Brings back to the point of departure. I'm always blown away by God. When Joan was talking about the Genesis story, when the relationship with God was broken and that he brought us back, in this psalm, this is what David is talking about. He restores our soul. He returns us to God. God's done the stuff. He returns us to himself. He brings us back to that point of departure. Do you feel far from God? Guess who moved? And it's God's desire to bring us back into deep, satisfying, rich relationship with Him. And He leads us along right paths. These are paths of righteousness, paths of right living. And it's a relational word between two people, and it embodies what God expects from us. It's the covenant, that promise between two people. You're going to lead me into the right way, God, the right way for me. He guides us where we need to go. Maybe not always where we might want to go. Hawaii sounds nice. However, God may take us to India. Yeah. I can think of Jonah who wanted to go to Tarsus. God says, Nineveh. Is that the right way around? He guides us to where we need to go, to the places of God's choosing where blessings await. If we are walking in paths of righteousness, the paths that God has set before us, they are the places we will find blessing. Not the places of Hawaii, although if God's called you to Hawaii, obviously you'll be blessed there. But if God's called you to India, then that's where God will bless you, because that's the place of God's choosing for you. It's not necessarily this worldly blessings, but blessings of relationship with God. And it's a dependence on God to meet the deepest needs that we have. And I want us to focus on this idea of relationship, not stuff. Those of you who've heard me speak before, can you remember what stuff is? Not a rhetorical question, you can answer it. What is stuff? Do you remember what I've said stuff is? Okay. Revision. It's anything that I can't find a name for. stuff. Anything, yes, it is. It can be rubbish, it can be stuff, it can be material things. But when I use the word stuff, quote unquote, it just means anything that I can't actually find a name for right now. So it's not necessarily bad. So I want us to focus on relationship and belonging, not on stuff. The right path that leads us to where we need to go, where we need to be, God's place for us as a community and as individuals, because this applies to us as Christie's Beach Baptist, not just me as a single human being. And it brings me to mind of the focus we've had on from Ephesians. We are God's masterpiece, created for good works that He planned beforehand to be our way of life. I had to get it in somewhere. Because when we're in right paths, we are doing the things that God created us, His masterpiece, to do. As His church and as an individual before God. And when we do this, we bring honour to His name. When we walk in His ways, we demonstrate the nature and character of God, because we're godly and we do the right things and we're in relationship with people. Verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. Jehovah or Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. I know that there are a lot of people in this church who are going through hard times right now. I know that there are people with cancers, there are people with financial struggles. There's hardship, pain and weariness, loneliness, marginalization, uncertainty, which we have with Hassan and Sam and Elham. There's friendlessness, there's death, darkness all around. the deepest shadows where we cannot see, even there, God is present. Even there, God is present. Remember what I told you right at the beginning. David was in a dark place. He was running from an enemy who wanted to chop his head off. He was surrounded by enemies. He was in a dry and dusty land where there was no sustenance. He was in serious trouble. And he said, even when I walk through the darkest of valleys, I'm not going to be afraid, because you, Yahweh, my God, my Lord, are close beside me. Your rod and staff protect and comfort me. The rod is to strike the enemy, and the staff is to aid walking. God walks with us in those dark places, and he beats away those enemies. The enemies that are outside, attacking from outside. The enemies that are within. Our sins, our fears, our bad stuff, our ugly stuff. God is there. And God's paths will lead us into the place of blessing and righteousness with him. In these dark places, we often seem to be far away from those green pastures and still waters. But when we fear God, fear is not knee shaking. It's reverence. It's understanding who God is. I get a little disturbed when I hear, oh, yeah, God's my buddy. God is the creator of the universe. Yes, he's our friend. Yes, he's our shepherd. Yes, he loves us passionately, but he's still God. He's not my best buddy or the man upstairs. When we're in relationship with him, when we lean on him, trustful like a child, like a sheep, we should not fear, because our good shepherd is close at hand. Our good shepherd is all we need. We think we need stuff, but our good shepherd is all we need. Beginning of the psalm, he is all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil, and my cup overflows with blessing. Yahweh Nissi, the Lord, my banner. Warfare image. In the Old Testament times, they would have a banner that would gather all the soldiers under. That was your lot over there, not that lot over there that was the enemy. So it has that image of warfare, but that's not necessarily the only thing that we see there. God is our host. He welcomes us into his household, where we are an honoured guest at his table. We've just shared communion. God welcomes us into his home to share a meal with him. And the meal is himself, is the body and blood of Christ. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of safety from the enemy, where we are rescued and redeemed. We receive asylum and protection from God in the presence of the enemies that beset us. It's the place where we can be at peace. We can have shalom. Shalom isn't just peace. Shalom incorporates the entirety of what God's kingdom is. Maybe for us there are real enemies, people who intend to harm us. Maybe they are internal enemies, loneliness, pain, brokenness. Maybe it's the powers of darkness, the satanic realm that rages against the purposes of God. Again, fascinating. We spoke about that this morning. The stuff that seeks to put up that shield so the light can't get through. Whatever it is, God welcomes us to his table and says, take, eat. This is my body. It's broken for you. Shepherds also anoint their sheep with oil, and they do that to heal their wounds and scratches. God invites us to come to him so that he can anoint us for healing. Not just the physical hurts, the scratches, but the inner hurts. Those things that you don't show anybody, maybe not even your BFF, best friend forever. Maybe not even your partner. That deep, deep hurt that's in, deep inside of you. God welcomes you to his table and he anoints you with oil for healing. Oil also speaks of consecration. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit for service, going back to Ephesians 2:10. For service. To do stuff. What is it that God's called you to do? What's stopping you? God anoints us for service. We are anointed by the Holy Spirit when we put our trust in Jesus. If you have put your trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit has already anointed you. The Holy Spirit, God himself, dwells within you. And if Jesus is for you, who on earth can be against you? Verse 6. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Normally we look at this, Jehovah or Yahweh Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. We often think about this in terms of eternal life, but I want to talk about what God does in this. God pursues us. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. God chases after us. Did you know that? God runs after you when you're running in the opposite direction, when you're heading for Hawaii or Tarshish. And God is saying, oi, come back. And he is running after you. And believe me, he can run faster than you can. God will never, ever, 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 ad infinitum, let us go. God has a passion for you. Do you know that? God has a passion for you. When he looks at you, he goes, you know, Bron, you are absolutely beautiful, and I have such a passion for you to be everything that you can be. He looks at each one of us and he said, I have a passion for you. I want the best for you. I want you to be everything that you can be, everything I've created you to be. God never gives up on us, even when we give up on ourselves. Who's given up on themselves? I can remember in the latter stages of writing that dreadful thing I did last year, literally, physically on my knees saying, God, I give up. I give up on me. Step out, done, finished. God didn't give up. He sent people to get me out of my bad place. But God never gives up on us, even when we give up on ourselves. We are his children. Now, those of you who are parents, you know how you feel about your kids? They irritate you. They annoy you. Sometimes you've got to smack them. Am I allowed to say that now? Or is that no? Okay, you discipline them. But God's love, your love for your kids is unconditional. You don't love them only when they're good. You love them anyway. And because you love them, you'll also discipline them. Because you don't love them too much if you don't, if you let them run wild. We are God's children, and he has a love for us that is unconditional, unending, unrelenting, and unfathomable. I don't get it. I know some of the stuff that I do, and I think, God, how can you love me when I want to kick you in the shins and tell you to get lost? Now, don't tell me I'm the only one who feels like that sometimes. Most of us at some time in our life have, I was going to say something naughty, but I won't. Yeah, that'll do. Love that's unconditional, unending, unrelenting, unfathomable. Love that is passionate, fiery, and possessive. This one is mine. Do you know that God is fiery and passionate and possessive about you? Did you know that? Do you know that God says, this one belongs to me, hands off. And do you remember when you first fell in love? And you had, oh, that's how God feels about us. Multiplied. But it's also a love that is tender and compassionate and gentle, because sometimes we need the fire and the passion and the unrelenting chase, and sometimes we just need God to put his arms around us, hold us close and say, it's okay, I'm here, I'm present, I'm your shepherd. What do you need? Love that lets us say, no matter what happens in life, all is well, because the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I have everything I need. It's a beautiful old hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. I love that hymn. It just says everything. It is well with my soul. The guy who wrote that hymn had just lost his wife and his two daughters in a shipwreck. He says, no matter what, it is well with my soul, because I have God. So let's quickly look again at the eight covenant names of God. Which of these touches something in you? When I went through them, which one went on your heart? Do you need a shepherd who will tend your wounds and heal your hurts? Do you need Jehovah Jireh to provide for you? Is there something in your life that's lacking? Do you need Jehovah Shalom to bring peace to your troubled soul? Do you need to return to the Lord, to Jehovah Rapha? Have you lost your first love for him? Have you lost your way? Do you need guidance for the right paths for you? Is Jehovah Tsikanu your righteousness? Do you bring honor to his name? Is there something of which you need to repent? To say, hey God, I stuffed up. Are you in a dark place? Do you need to feel the presence of Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is here, the Lord who is present? Do you need Jehovah Nissi, your protection and anointing? Have you met Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who pursues you, who wants to sanctify you and bring you to his covenant promises for your life? Do you know this God of whom we have spoken this morning? What is Jehovah, the great I Am, the ever-present, always one, saying to you? Spend a few moments listening to him. If you feel the need to pray or talk with someone, there are people here, some pastors and elders, who will talk with you. If you've never met Jesus, we'd love to talk with you about our amazing promise-keeping God. I just invite you to come and up the front if you want someone to talk to you. The first couple of rows here and someone will grab you, and just if you just need to chat stuff over. Let's just close in prayer. Father, I thank you. You are the great I am. Jesus, I thank you that you are the great I am, the ever-present one who always will be. Thank you that you pursue us, you love us, you bring us peace, you bring us correction. Thank you for your 8 covenant promises. Touch our hearts with those this morning, Lord, and give us hearts to respond to you. We love you, Lord. We love you. Amen.